Not yet. I may at the close of the message. We'll see how time allows. God's man Moses is in a dilemma. The children of Israel have sinned against God. He is their leader, Moses. And he intercedes on their behalf. And God says, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to destroy them, but I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to send an angel before you, and I'm going to give you that land, because I told you I was going to give you the promised land, Canaan's land. And he says, so I'm going to drive out all those inhabitants, and I'm going to give you that land, you know, that land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do, because God always does what he says he's going to do. And he said, though that this has happened, I'm going to keep my covenant that I made. And then Moses said, Lord, and I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 12. What a man this man Moses. He said, Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And by the way, God does know you by name. God knows me by name. I'm glad that he does. That is a sign of a very personal God. You see, if we're not careful, we'll think God is this distant deity that just kind of looks down and gets involved in only very important, quote-unquote, situations. But I'm glad that God is included and God is a part of every aspect of my life, and he is yours too. And he said, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. I think it's very important that we understand something here. What Moses is saying is, listen, I've already had the invitation into your presence because of the grace that you have shown me. Now, there are many people that are sitting here today that you could say what Moses has said. I have experienced your grace. And what happens to a lot of folks, and if we're not careful, it could happen to all of us. We say, well, you know what? I've experienced God's grace. My sin is forgiven. I know who God is, and that's it. That's enough. But that's not what Moses wanted to do. Moses said, I believe there's more. I believe there's more. And so he said in verse number 13, he said, now therefore, I pray thee. Now, I don't want you to miss this. If I have found grace in thy sight. You see that? You get it? Are you one of those? If I found grace in your sight, God, I called upon you. I called upon your grace. It's the only way you can forgive me is by your grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. I've called upon your grace. The songwriter said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And so he said, now if I found grace in your sight, I believe you have more for me. God, you have more for me than just me to have my sin forgiven. You see, that's pardon. If you're here and you have called upon God to forgive you of your sin and to enter into a personal relationship with him, you have experienced God's pardon. But what is happening next is Moses said, I think there's more. I want to go beyond that. So many people put a period right here. I'm saved by grace. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. And they think, well, that's it. That's the pinnacle. But God said, no. Moses said, no. He said, God, I just don't want to experience your work. Now watch this now. I don't want to just experience your work. I want to know your way. Look what he said. If I have found grace, I'm in verse 13. If I have found grace in thy sight, look at this. Show me now thy way. God, I want to know the way you do things. I want to get to know you. I'm not here just to have my sin forgiven. I'm not here just for the ticket to heaven. Now, thank God for all of that. Don't you listen. I pray to God that I somehow can make this very clear. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life is the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior to forgive me of my sin. Amen. Can I get a witness? And by the way, yesterday, October the 26th, 1980, yesterday marked the 44th year that my precious wife and I called upon Jesus to save us by His grace. Amen. You say, how's it been, Brother Dale? So far, so good. Amen. Hey, man, I mean, it just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter. You say, you don't really mean that, do you? With all of my heart, brother. Listen, every fiber in my being, the greatest decision I've ever made in my life was the decision to trust Jesus as my personal Savior. What a Savior, amen. What a Savior. No wonder David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Here's Moses. And he's saying, God, if I found grace in Your sight, I want to know Your way. I want to talk to you this morning about what happened right here. Because I want you to notice what Moses says after he says, God, show me Thy way. There's a reason Moses asked that question. Look what he said. Verse 13. Show me Thy way. Why, Moses? That I may know Thee. What a statement. You see, back in verse number 12, God said, now, I know you. Moses said, God, I know you know me. That's what he said. Look at it again. In verse number 12, he said, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me, yet thou hast said, I know thee. God, you said you knew me. God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I just don't want to see what you do. I want to know who you are. Do you understand what just happened here? Do you understand that most people live their life just knowing what God can do, and they never know who God is? A lot of folks know God can save any old sinner. You believe that today? God can save any old sinner. God can move any old mountain. God can perform any miracle. There is nothing impossible with God. Do you believe that today? I believe that you do. I know I do. But Moses said, God, I just believe there's more than just me seeing what you can do. I want to know who you are. Who is the God behind those things that are taking place? Now, I want you to hold your place here. We're coming back. And I want you to go to Psalm 103. For those of you that you're visiting with us today, thank you for being here. I realize you're here to see a loved one baptized. I just want to give you a little bit of backdrop. We have been in Psalm 103 now for about 3 weeks. I've just been bringing some messages out of Psalm 103. It's something that God has really just pressed upon my heart. And this past week, and I couldn't get past, and I still can't. It just breaks me up. I can't get past the fact that David said in Psalm 103, look at it, bless the Lord, O my soul. Look at this next phrase, and all that is within me. Oh, he said, with every fiber of my being, with all of my makeup, God, I just want to praise Your name. You're worthy of that. And he begins to talk about, in verse number 2, the Lord's benefits. He said, oh, don't let me forget God's benefits. God has been so good to me. Don't let me forget. He's talking to himself. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. And he's just talking to himself. You say, preacher, do you ever talk to yourself? Some of the best conversations I ever have is when I'm talking to myself. Especially like this. David's talking to himself and he's saying, oh, listen, self, don't you forget how good God's been to you. Don't you have the poor mouth. Do bad things happen to you, preacher? Yes, regularly. Do sad things happen to you, preacher? Yes, regularly. And there's times that I, like David, have to remind my soul and all that is within me, despite these things, God is still good. Amen. Despite these things, God has still been far better to me than I deserve. Amen. The good far outweigh the bad. Amen. Amen. God has been so, so good to me. Amen. And David said, just rise up in me, soul. Rise up in me. Don't you forget how good God's been to you. And David said, don't you forget all of His benefits. And he starts out and he says, who forgiveth, in verse number 3, all thine iniquities. And I'm not going to go through these. If there was no other, listen, if there was no other reason to thank God, aren't you glad God forgives us?
Amen.
Every one of us stand in need of forgiveness.
Right.
And God forgives us. I could spend the next, and I'm not just saying this, I could spend the next 2 hours talking to you about the benefits of being forgiven.
Sure.
I have peace with God in my heart this morning. Listen, I laid down last night and I went to sleep with a good conscience last night. Not because I'm somebody, but because there's a God in heaven that has forgiven me of my sin, amen. There's a God in heaven that has forgiven me. And I can't even get beyond that. Because if you look at verse number 3, he said, who forgiveth not thine iniquities? Look at it. All, brethren. Can you get a hold of it? Can you grab hold of it this morning? Can you really digest the fact that God has forgiven all of thine iniquities? Those that man knows about and those that man doesn't. Those that you're ashamed of and those that you should be. God has forgiven all of thine iniquities. And as we go on down through this, I was reading this past week out of this psalm, and here's a thought that came to me in verse number 7. Remember what Moses asked God? Somehow David got a hold of it. Now, I don't want you to miss this now because I've just got a couple of really heavy thoughts that I'm just going to lay on your heart this morning, and I want you just to meditate on it in the week to come. Don't you forget what happened here. Moses, the leader of the people of God, under a heavy burden, And here he is talking with God, and he's saying, God, he said, you've been good to me. You've shown me your grace, but I just somehow believe there's more that you have for me. See, God's good that way, brethren. Am I talking to somebody this morning that you know, listen, God's been good to me, and I have certainly gotten something from God, but I just feel down in the recesses of my soul that God has more for me, preacher. Preacher, I feel that God has more for me in this old life. I'm here to tell you he does. That's why you feel that way, because he does. And Moses said, Lord, he said, would you show me thy way? See, he could have stopped when he just said, Lord, you show me your grace. And he could have went dancing, and he would have had every reason to. Hey, man, running and jumping and dancing and praising God. But he said, you know, as happy as I am about that you have shown me your grace, show me thy way. Lord, I want to understand you. I want to understand why you do what you do. That's what he's asking. Why, Moses? Look at it. Or remember it. Don't look at it. We'll go back to Exodus in just a moment. Because I want to know you. That's why I'm asking. I just don't want to see what you do. I want to know why you do what you do. See, there's a big difference. I'm going to give you a little bit of an illustration here, but I want you to look at what he says here in verse number 7 of Psalm 103. Are you there? Look at what David said. He made known his ways unto Moses. You think God showed Moses his way? David said he did. Is that what he said? He made known his ways unto Moses. Now watch this next phrase. And his acts unto the children of Israel. That's all some people ever see. They just see God's works. His acts. That is as well as they'll ever know God is what he does. Now listen, it's not like that's not enough. Amen. But don't you be satisfied with just knowing God's works. Look at it one more time. His acts unto the children of Israel. He made them known. He made known. Those two things. He made known his acts unto the children of Israel, but they never said, God, we want to know who's behind these blessings. Oh, how God spoke to my heart this week. God, we want to know you. We don't want to just receive what you give us, though we're thankful for everything you give us. I want to know you. I just don't want to receive what you have to give me. I want to know you. We'll go back in just a moment and see this. And it just, I'm telling you, it challenged my heart to the core. Essentially, what's happening here is Moses said, God, if you're not going to go, I don't want to go. I want the milk and honey, but not if it means you're not going. I don't want just the milk and honey. I want you and the milk and honey. Amen. I don't want just victory. I don't want you just to defeat the Jebusite and the Hebusite and the Perizzites. I don't want just victory. I want victory in you. Amen. I wonder if God came to me today and said, now, Dale Freeman, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to grant you every desire of your heart, but you're not going to know my presence. I wonder if I'd have said, hey, good deal, let's go, thank you, and walk off and be content with that. I sure pray to God I wouldn't be. But I got to tell you something. I fear that there's times in my life I have been. I've been okay with the land, but not the Lord. I've been okay with the blessings, but not the blesser. And there's just something in this old flesh, it makes me just say, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? What God does and how God acts and what God gives me, that's wonderful. Please nobody leave here and say, that preacher's unthankful. Well, I don't know. In some ways, you might be telling the truth. I have been. And I'll probably be again. It's not because, it's just I'm broken. I don't know anything else to say. I can be unthankful. I don't want to be unthankful. There's just something in this old flesh that's unthankful. And God has to remind me. And I don't like the fact that God has to remind me to be thankful. You know, it's kind of like, how many of you have children? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Be proud. Amen. That's proud mamas and daddies. It's kind of like after you just, you know, you have to tell your children, now what do you say? And they say, thank you. And you, man, okay. Basically, you're just training them, but you're wondering, are they ever going to get it? So I have to say, it's just not the same when you have to tell them to say thank you every time. And sometimes I feel like that child that my Father in heaven has to say, now, what do you say, son? Thank you, Lord. And I know how he feels because I know how I felt when I kept having to tell my children, what do you say? And I wanted to shake them. What do you say? It's yeah. See what's happening here? I want us to think about the acts and the ways. What category am I in this morning? What category are you in? Are you okay with just the acts? Now listen, God will make those known to you. You with me? He'll make those known to you. He made known his acts unto the children of Israel. And he'll make them known to you. There's probably not a Christian in here that couldn't raise their hand and say, now God's made some things very, very well known to me. God has shown me what he can do on some level. And if we're not careful, we'll be okay with that. Please don't misunderstand what I just said. I just want to add that God has more. He wants to show you his way. But God didn't say, hey, Moses, you want to see my way? Moses said, show me thy way. I have a desire in my heart, Lord. I've experienced your grace. It's wonderful. Amen. I want to see your way. Show me thy way. Why, Moses? That I may know thee. Intimacy. We can somehow become infatuated with God. You start seeing what God can do, and it kind of infatuates us, doesn't it? Come on, church. Absolutely. But God doesn't want us to be infatuated with him. God wants us to be intimate with him. God loves us, and he wants us to love him. Hear ye, O Israel. The Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. with all of thy soul and with all of thy might. Right? I'm going to give you two words, and I want to build some truth around them, and I'll be done this morning. Tranquility. You know what tranquility is? It's peace. See, when you know the ways of God, you'll have peace. If you just know the works of God, there's really no guarantee that you'll have peace. Now listen to me. You see, you can have peace with God through his works. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Can I tell you that I have peace with God this morning? I'm saved. I have peace with God. But now there's a big difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God. Yeah. You can have peace with God and still not have tranquility. A rest. Notice, let's turn back now. I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture. Turn back to Exodus just for a moment, and then I'm going to ask you to turn to a few scriptures, and I want to give you build some truth around two words. First, tranquility. Do you have peace today? I mean peace. And I'm not talking about just peace when everything's going good. I'm talking about having peace when everything's not going good. Do you have peace? Did you know you could and should? Amen, church? Hey, if you're a Christian, you should have peace. Why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he has come to give peace. And so you say, well, I have peace with God. Well, praise the Lord, that's grace. But what about the peace of God? There's a difference. Notice again in Exodus 33, are you there with me? Please don't miss this. I realize this is more teaching than preaching, but if you'll get this morning, I will guarantee you on the authority of God's word, it'll change your life. It's changing mine. You say, now, preacher, have you arrived there yet? Nope. I haven't. I want to know more of the ways of God. I want to know more of his ways. I want more of that intimacy with God that he has for me. Exodus 33. When you look at verse 13 again, he said, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. I want to know why you're doing what you're doing and why you do what you do. God, I want to know more about your ways. You know, a lot of people do not have peace because they sit around and they don't understand why God does some of the things he does. I've been one of those people. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know, when you see only the works of God and not the ways of God, you don't know who God is as far as why he does what he does, then you just see his works and it'll cause you to question. You think that maybe the family of James, now listen carefully. So James and Peter and John were considered the inner three disciples, right? You understand that, the inner circle. How many disciples were there? Come on, church, talk to me. 12. Well, there was James, Peter, and John. You think that Jesus loved James, Peter, and John more than he did the other nine disciples? No. And so don't think God plays favorites now. It's just that they were three of them that really wanted to know the ways of God. All right? And so they got along with Jesus on some occasions, and they got in that inner circle. And they were not Jesus' favorites. They were just his intimates. So God doesn't have favorites, but he does have intimates. He does have those that say, God, show me now thy way. And they saw the way of God. They saw the way of God. So Peter stands up, one of those that wanted to see the way of God. You know what Peter did on the day of Pentecost? He preached and over 3,000 people got saved. Men, plus women and children, got saved. Then there was a man by the name of Stephen who got up and he preached. And guess what happened? He didn't get 3,000 saved. He got 3,000 stones. He got stoned. So what are we to take from that? If you look from just the acts of God and you say, well, you know what? If I preach, a lot of people's going to get saved. If you look at Peter's and you're going to say, yeah, man, I want to get into preaching. Hey, man, I want to get into preaching. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a pastor. I preach and people get saved and they think highly of me. But then when you look at Stephen, you say, I don't know if I want to do that preaching thing or not, man. You know, get preaching, I get stoned to death. Why? Because you've got to know the ways of God and not just look at the works of God. Peter and James in Acts chapter 12. Listen, they were the leaders in the church of Jerusalem. And they got put into prison. They did. James got beheaded by Herod. Peter got set free. Did Jesus love Peter more than he did James? No. God has a way. And so what am I to take from that? Well, you know what? Every time I get in trouble, God's going to set me free like he did Peter. Or, well, if I tell you right now, if I get in trouble, off comes the head. That's the works of God. But when you know who God is, it helps you to understand why God does what he does. Because God has a purpose in everything he does. And so what Moses is saying here is, God, I want to know your way. When I first saw my wife, I hope you'll stay with me now. When I first saw my wife back in 1978, I think it was, 78, 79, it was somewhere in there, 78. I didn't know her way. I knew her acts. I knew her work. I seen her outside. I seen her from a distance. And I said, I want to meet that young lady. And I was acting on acts, works. You get this? But now I've been married to her for 44 years. I know her ways. Trust me. And she knows mine. Trust her. And if you've been married for any length of time, you know your mate's ways too. Do you love your wife more because you know her ways? Yes. He said no. Those rhetorical questions will get you in trouble. He misunderstood the question, sister. See what I'm saying? You get to know someone, it's deeper than skin deep. When I first seen my wife, I thought, wow, what a beautiful girl. I mean, I just thought she had the most, and she's getting embarrassed, but I don't care. You know, I know her ways. She'll get over it. You see what I'm saying? When you get to know someone, it's better. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how you can improve on looks like that. It gets better when you get to know them. It's more meaningful. It's deeper. Oh, how I hope you'll get this. I don't want just a casual, shallow understanding of who God is. I don't want to just receive what God can give to me or what God has to offer to me. I truly want to know him. I want to know his ways. It brings tranquility. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Just in the event that somebody say, preacher, I don't know. I just don't know if that's what that's teaching. Well, let's just see. Hebrews chapter 3, you're there? You say, well, I don't think I know where the book of Hebrews is. Well, go to the front of your Bible and look in the table of contents, and it'll tell you where the book of Hebrews is, and you turn to chapter 3, okay? I want you to see this. This is going to change somebody's life. It's changing mine. And I want it to change yours because I know it's a good change. We all need this. We can get just this casual relationship with God and just be okay with just getting things from God. I want more than that. I'm not saying, God, stop blessing me. As a matter of fact, God, keep on blessing me. Pour it on me, Lord. Amen. But now, I want to know your way. I want to know you. I want to know who's given me these blessings. I don't want to be just recipient of the blessing. I want to know the giver of the blessing. I want to know the person, the God that's doing these things. I want to know him better so that I can understand why he's doing what he's doing. And when he does things that I don't understand, I can automatically say, that's just because he is this way. When my wife does something that I don't understand, I've been with her 44 years. When she does something that's uncharacteristic, I know there's a good reason for it. I hope you understand. And if you've been married for any length of time and some your spouse does something that just is not kind of within their character to do it, you know there's a good reason for it. Hebrews chapter 3, are you there? Look if you would in Hebrews chapter 3. Look if you would in verse number 10. Now, here this is addressing what we just read in Exodus. And here's what the apostle said in verse number 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said they do always err in their heart and they have not known what? The children of Israel didn't know his ways. Now they knew his acts. He made his acts known unto them. Is that what the word says, brethren? But they didn't know his ways. And so it grieved God that they were okay with just getting from God and not wanting to know who the giver was. And it would grieve you too. It would grieve you too. If you raise your children, if you provide for your children, if you protect your children, if you're always there for your children, and your children never want to get to know mama and daddy, they never want to spend time with mama and daddy, they never want to have that intimate relationship with mom and dad, it'll grieve your heart too. God said, I was grieved with that generation. Look at it. I was grieved with them. Why? He said, because they do always err. He said, it's a heart matter. They're okay with getting what I give. They're okay with breathing my air and drinking my water and fueling their bodies with my food and the supply that I've given them and accepting my grace and accepting my blessing and my mercy and my provision and my protection. But they do not know my ways. They do not want to get to know me. And it grieves me, God said. And I don't want to grieve God. And I don't think you want to grieve him either. And Moses said, God, I don't want to just get what you have. I want to know who you are. What category you're in this morning? Are we okay with God just letting us see his acts that he gives? Or do we really want to say, God, thank you for all this. Thank you, Lord. But I have a further request. Could I get to know you? Look at the next verse. So I swear in my wrath, verse 11, they shall not enter into my rest. See, that's tranquility. When all you know are the acts, the works, but not the ways. It grieves God, but it costs you. It costs me. We don't get that tranquility, that rest. Turn to Matthew and I'll show you what I'm talking about. And I may just close here. I had some other things, but you know, I don't want to overload your plate this morning. I want you to get this. And if we have to come back here, we'll come back here. We may spend some time here. I think it's time that we start spending some time with God. You know how I got to know this lady right here? I could tell you what she's going to do tomorrow. She don't have to tell me. She could tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow. Something can happen right here before this service is over, and I'd know what she's thinking, and she would know what I'm thinking. You know why? We've been together for 44 years. Now, I'm not saying we lived under the same roof for 44 years, though we did. I'm saying we've been together. Yes, we've lived under the same roof. But we've been together. We spent time together. We've shared. We've talked. We've exchanged information. We've been through hard times. We've been through good times. We've been through blessings. We've been through down time and times that weren't so favorable. We've been through a lot together. Can I tell you, God and I have too? We've been through a lot together. And I'm getting to know the ways of God, but I want to know them better. I'm getting to know the ways of God, but I just want to know them better. I don't want to be satisfied with just what little I know. When God does something, I want to say, I see now. I see you, Lord. I see what you're doing here. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. I want to get to the place of where Romans 8:28 is not just a verse that I've memorized. You say, what's that, preacher? All things work together for the good. To them who love the Lord and to them who are the called according to His purpose. I want to get to that place where I understand that. You see what I'm saying? Look, if you would, in Matthew 11. Are you there? Matthew 11 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I want to give you a truth and then I'll be through for today. Right here. We're going to end with this one. I'm talking to you about a man who said, I want to know your way. And a people who said, we're okay with you, just feed us. Get us out of this mess in Egypt. Now listen to me. Get us out of this mess we're in. And we can, listen, we can point a finger at Israel and blame them, but if we're not careful, we'll be the exact same way. Get us out of this jam we're in. Get us out from under this bondage. Deliver us from this. Do miracles. Divide the Red Sea. Get us over on dry ground. We don't even want to get our feet wet. Feed us with that manna. Give us that water. Don't expect us now to spend more time than what we have to with you. We'll call you when we need you. Many of them spent their lives that way, and that's why God said, I'm grieved with that generation. And their carcasses fell in the wilderness. There was one that said, nah, not me. I want to go beyond that, Lord. I got just a little glimpse of who you were up on that mountain. I want some more of that. Amen. Give me some more of that. I got a glimpse of the presence of God, and I want some more of Him. Not of His, but of Him. That's me. That's where your preacher's at in his life right now. God has been given and given and given to me. And in many ways, I've been selfish. And I don't like to make preaching personal, but it just is this way with me, and I'm just bearing my soul with you. God's been so good to me. What God saved me from? What God's done for me? The prayers that God has answered in my life? The things that God has done for me? I want to know who He is. Who is this God? You say, preacher, you don't know Him? Oh, I do. I just want to know Him more. Notice what Jesus said here as we bring this to a close today. Jesus, this is called the Great Invitation. You're in Matthew 11. We're going to close right here. I tell you right now, you're talking about some, I'm getting ready to drop some meat on your plate. If you'll just listen, I'm going to send you some meat home with you. So Jesus said, and after He addresses the people, you have to go back and read this. It's a tremendous chapter. Oh, it's hard times. John the Baptist getting ready to lose his head in prison, questioning whether or not he was the Messiah or not. Jesus began to address the people, and He gets down now and He says, all right, come unto me. Are you in verse number 28? Look at it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And He says, you know what I'll do? I will, and I want you to underline that word, give you peace. Rest. Same thing. I did that. If you're saved, you did that. If you're saved, if you called on Jesus, you did that. Come unto me. You came. You answered His call, and you came. Right? And you know what He did? You didn't have to buy it. You didn't earn it. Notice carefully the wording. I, the latter part of verse number 28, will give you rest. It's a gift I have for you. You coming to me, I'm going to give you something. Now let's read on. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Ready? Learn my ways, He's saying. Learn my way. How you know He's saying that? You know what a yoke is, don't you? It's where they put an untrained or a young oxen in with a trained or a veteran ox, and they put them in the same yoke. The double formed yokes, shoulder jokes, so that the younger can learn the way of the elder. Learn of me. Learn of me. And you're not going to just have this given to you. Notice what he said in verse number 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. That's a different kind of rest. Look the word up. Same English word, but comes from a different derivative. I challenge you. Now, what's being said here? You can stand to your feet. God said, I don't want to make my work known to you. I died for your sin. Jesus said, come unto me. I want you to experience what my death for your sin can do for you. And I will give you the rest from you trusting me for the forgiveness of your sin. I've received that rest. Can I ask you a question? Have you? Is there a war going on in you? Even now, is there a war going on? Do you have peace with God? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you ever trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? If you have, then Jesus gave you rest. He gave it as a gift. It's a free gift. If you haven't, He's offering you that gift through this preacher this morning. From His word, He's saying, come unto me. Jesus is saying, come, I want to give you my peace. I want to give you my rest through forgiveness of sin. Is there someone here today? You came to see something, but you're going to receive something. Is there someone in your heart who would say, that's me. I've never trusted Christ, and I need to. Would you please consider doing that? And then for all of us that have trusted Jesus, He said, take my yoke. Have you done that? Have you taken the yoke and put it on? Since you've received that rest of salvation? And have you said, God, I believe there's more for me. I don't want it to end right there. You see what's happening here? I don't want it just to end by me receiving your grace and your gift that you've given me. I think there's more. So I'm going to take that yoke and I'm going to put it on and I want to learn of you so that I could find your way. Why you do what you do. I want to get to know you. Do you know God? Or do you just know about God? If someone was to ask me, do you know Sharon or do you just know about Sharon? I'd just say yes. I know her and I know about her. What about you? Do you know about God? You say, yeah, I know about God. Do you know Him intimately? Do you know His way? Let's bow our heads together. The pianist is going to begin to play. I'm just going to ask.